Welcome into the Pine Room. I'm going to set a Pine Room on the Watchdog.
You've heard me do that on Better's Last Stand before. Yeah. Like, welcome in Pine Room on the Watchdog. No, this is Better's Last Stand.
Welcome into the Pine Room Podcast, episode 155. Myself, Jeff, Matt, and Soup here in the studio. Soup, you've been out of town for a little while. And now you're
back.
You're back here in the studio.
For 10 minutes and you'll be gone again.
Yeah. Don't get Cooley started, dude. He's so ignorant with that.
Yeah.
Where are you, in Texas?
San Antonio.
How was that?
Beautiful. People, it's, nice. It's a jam-packed city, but when you're in some cool spots, it's sweet.
Riverwalk area?
Yeah. Wait, where's some place you like to travel with West Lib? Was there any place that stood out when you went with the Hoops team?
Several. I mean, we went to Montana. We went to Yellowstone. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably unbelievable.
It's like a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. But yeah, we went to Texas a couple times and Florida several times. But I would say the big sky country, Montana, Idaho,
Wyoming, I've never been out there.
That is something special. It's not like anything else we have here in the country. So definitely worth a look if you can ever get out there.
Dallas was my first time going somewhere in December where it was warm.
Yeah.
So it was very, very weird for me. Like seeing all the Christmas lights up and all that stuff. Like it just felt weird.
Yeah, that's
very odd.
Yeah, very weird.
That's one of my arguments with people that like living in that warm weather all the time. It's like the holidays don't feel, they don't have the same feel to them. Because every movie you ever watch, other than maybe your a comedy here and there, it's all snow. It's all Christmas and snow and cozy and warm and cookies. And then you're down there in Florida and Jacksonville getting bit by mosquitoes. Ew, yeah.
80 degrees.
And then you go in and it's like, I'm going to go home and open presents. Like, that doesn't seem right.
Just get everything away.
Yeah, I agree. That's really, really odd.
But isn't it crazy how opposites think, though? So the fact of the matter, they're in there and they think it's normal where we think they're a bunch of weirdos. I mean,
I know people that grill out like on Christmas. Like, it's like, that's like so weird. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to go get steaks and go, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I lived there, I'd probably do the same.
Do we talk about food things in here? Because food, probably down south when you're down there, probably food traditions are a little different because maybe not.
Even like Thanksgiving, like, you don't eat a giant meal when it's like 80 degrees outside. That's just not very common.
I totally agree.
Go cut the grass and have Thanksgiving dinner. Like, that's so bizarre.
It is weird. I would agree.
Yeah. Honey, I just got in from cutting the grass. Load the turkey in the, in the oven.
Extra gravy.
With you guys, speaking of holidays, because I was thinking about this on the way down, minus the whole, obviously, us being Catholic and believing exactly what Easter is, where does Easter rank in your guys' from a holiday side of things?
I absolutely love Thanksgiving, so that's my one. But Easter was always so cool to me growing up. It's definitely in my top, I want to say three, but then there's some other really good ones like, obviously, is Christmas going to be second? And then where's 4th of July stand? But Easter was always so cool to us because they would hide the baskets and then you get to spend time at, you do your Easter Day Mass and then, like the meal is always so good. So,
yeah, I'd say for our family, I think Easter in recent years has been really, really good.
Elevated because it's one of our few left remaining family gatherings.
Yeah,
so that's cool. Well, that's kind of
which we had for years. It was always we'd Aunt Janie's, now we're at Aunt Kim's, but still, since she's brought that back, it's made it, for a few years there, it was a little quiet. It was,
and she's excited this year. I know she'll listen to this, but she's excited this year. I talked to her, and I've been talking to her a lot recently. And I'd say Easter, not up there as far as the entire holiday, but far as that gathering goes, probably in my top three, four.
Yeah, easily.
I'd say up there. Yeah, holiday at a base level though. Halloween number one. I love Halloween.
People love it.
Halloween that whole season. Man,
I agree with that.
Movies, the TV, the fall, maybe it, not so
it's because it's coming into that time of year that you like and that I like. I think that makes a big difference. But Jeff, I think you're hitting on something. I think Easter kind of gets slept on from a public perspective.
Yes, it doesn't, I agree.
And honestly, for the Catholics, it's the most important
of
all of the celebrations that we have. Obviously, Jesus' birth is very important because I guess you don't have the death without the birth. Mm-hmm. But, Easter doesn't get any type of the hoopla that Christmas does, which is so weird.
It is.
And it never has. Even like when we were young, I don't feel like it has. And I feel like it's gotten worse.
I feel like I used to get really excited for Easter, at least when I was a kid, because I get my Easter basket. Yeah. But I mean, not like TV, there's no movies really about Easter. There's really no fanfare around Easter that there is nearly like Christmas or Thanksgiving or Halloween.
I wonder why.
But I mean, the stores, I was in Kroger today and they're loaded the gills with Easter bunnies and, you know, chocolate eggs and, which I know is the secondary version of Easter for probably people outside of Catholicism and religion. But I mean, I don't know. I just, I think it's one of those things that just happens. Maybe it's a weird time of the year. I don't know, because you're coming out of the cold, getting ready for the summer, and people are probably in work now, like in the depth of work. I don't know. What about you? Is it up there for you?
I don't really, I'm one of those guys that I think I have a certain appreciation for all holidays. Mm-hmm. As the older you get, like you guys just got done talking about, unfortunate whether we wanted to admit it or not, that you don't get together with family as much as you once did. So it gives you a reason to make sure that you're breaking bread with family. Obviously, I know you guys are probably in the same boat. Not that I really don't have a drinking family, but you know, my nephew, we'll throw back some beers.
We can't say the same.
But, but I think that makes it, I think it's just I guess it's probably since it's wrapped around family, I think that's why all holidays are kind of special to me. I think it's also, when like the Masters falls on Easter weekend is usually super cool.
Yep.
Selfishly, I mean, that was what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago? The college basketball, Notre Dame was in the.
Yes, absolutely.
So that Sunday, that was maybe one of the best Easters. That's when they won the national championship.
That was a really good game. It was a really good game.
So I think and I hate to relate sports to holidays, but I think when there's something like the Masters,
that elevates it.
It does. It elevates and gives everybody something to root for and watch.
Like, of course, we'll have the gambling pools.
At
ours, you know, that's going to be sure.
But I think it's always good food. I'm not really a traditionalist. I know the typical ham and scalloped potatoes and all that stuff. It's not that I dislike that meal, but I'll get that at my sister's house and I like it. But like, so the wife, he always has to work on that Saturday. So we always go to my sister's and then we house it down at our house on Sunday. So we'll do the non-traditional, which will be nice. So I'll get two different sets of meals, selfishly for a fat guy. I like that. but I don't know. I think every holiday, like I love the 4th. I love Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas obviously is number one on my list. But I think Easter is a forgotten holiday, for lack of better terms.
It is a cool time of year.
It's awesome.
I mean, it's a little bit of, like we said, slept on, but the feeling, and I'm not a summer guy at all. I don't like spring, and I know within, what's today?
April 8th.
Yeah. I know within the next probably month, I'm going to wake up every morning, I'm going to be stuffed up, and I'm going to be sucking in the pollen and trying to just breathe throughout the day. So I know that's on the way, but for the sake of being able to go outside and the sun's shining and it is clear and it feels good out, I'll give it that. Yeah, now I don't want, if I could take about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of that and then snap my fingers and it be leaves falling, then I'd be a little happier. But I think, especially now in our family's timeline, I think Easter's definitely up there for me.
I think living in a place where we get all four seasons helps with all those holidays too. You enjoy them more because, like we said, with the Floridians and the Californians and stuff, it's the same thing all the time. For us, it's at least all this stuff happens in a different time of the year. You know, spring is literally springing forward. You're getting Easter, you're getting ready for summer. And then by the time summer's done with, 4th of July, and then it's fall, it's the time of year that I like the best,
100%.
The Halloween and, you know, sports calendar.
It's the best.
Dark early, all that good stuff.
What's the latest you guys have seen it snow in the year? Like in this springtime?
I'd say like April, late.
I would probably say.
We've never seen May snow, right?
I don't want to say never.
I me either. I would say like but one time we might have had a dusting.
Yeah. I mean, I thought today was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That was
snow on my windshield.
Woke up. Yeah, it was snow when we left, which is just wild.
Yeah, it was funny because she took out the dogs this morning in the area that we take out the Dachshund Mafia. There doesn't always, obviously, with the amount of snow we got, that area doesn't necessarily get snow. So she came in and she's like, man, it is really frosted outside. And I wasn't really paying attention when I went and looked on the front deck.
Yeah.
That wasn't fucking frost. It was snow.
Yeah. My mom said there were a bunch of accidents today on black
Buckeye
ice.
Local cancel? I forgot to ask that.
Yeah, she said there's a bunch of black ice, people slipping out there on black ice, which is crazy to think in April that's happening. Well, I guess not for around here, but yeah. Speaking of, this is a kind of off on another tangent, but we're talking about Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And I had this conversation on the phone today. And
on the phone, huh?
Yeah, and it wasn't serious, but I was on the way home. I talked to Anna and I asked her, I said, this is such a weird question because I have kind of gone away from going to church, which I've thought about in recent time for some other reason. I've been curious to go back and you know, see the church. And I was sitting here today and I thought, well, could I just get up and go into the church?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, people, it's awesome. My mom goes all the time.
Yeah.
So I could get up if we were sitting right here and I said, I want to go to the church. I can walk in and just.
In most cases, unless there would be a time where they would lock it down. But I mean, during the afternoon, it's going to be open. I mean, this time of year, you got your Stations of the Cross happening pretty much three times a week.
I was looking up the Corpus Christi schedule and it was 8:30 Mass on Tuesdays to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yeah. Daily
so people
mass.
Just go into daily mass every day.
Absolutely,
it used to be 7 days a week.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. because in movies you see people go into the church like on a random day and there's no one in there and then you sit there by yourself.
It's peaceful, man.
Yeah, and I was thinking, it's unbelievable.
I don't know.
Dark candles, little stained glass reflections.
I don't know. I was thinking
about
it.
You get a
lot
of thinking done.
I know, and I was thinking about that, and I just didn't know if that was a thing. Because then I was thinking, well, what if somebody you'd have to be a sick individual to go and steal from the inside of a church.
Here's the deal. There's plenty of dicks out there.
But
on a personal note, though, Jubber, and if you don't want to share, you don't have to. Do you feel like you're missing something in your life that makes you want to get back, or are you reflecting on something? What is it?
I don't know. I just was. I think it was a couple days ago. I was just sitting here. I was doing work, and all of a sudden, it just came up in my head. I was like, maybe I should just go. See what's like. I mean,
the cathedral down here is beautiful too. So.
In all transparency, my faith. When I was a kid, we'd go to church. Throughout my life, I went to Sunday school. I got First Communion. I never got confirmed, but I went through all that, and we went to church every holiday. And which is not the greatest thing to do is only go on the holidays, but. Yeah, we're pretty ingratiated, and like Aunt Sue, she worked for the church her whole life. My dad, you know, he read
your dad
every
was faithful
Sunday.
Every Sunday, man.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think we just as a family kind of got away from that. I think when Monsignor Gene left, that kind of changed things a little bit. And then we had I don't know what his name is now, but
the guy with, well, not the guy that has 7,000 letters.
Actually,
in his name. I think he is.
I thought so too because I saw he was a older guy, had white hair. I don't know if that's...
Actually, I don't even know what he looks like. Really don't.
I think he's like a normal...
Is this Corpus Christi?
And not to contradict you, you wouldn't have been... you would have been Father Miles at your younger days, right?
Yeah, your real young days, probably.
But the only person I remember is Monsignor Gene. Because this is such a weird thing to say, especially as I know the stereotype for being a little boy and they're around them. But I always remembered how nice he was to me. And he for some reason, I remember what he smelled like. He had such a, like, a distinct... Priest.
I don't know what that is, but in my mind, I have that smell, too, from various priests.
I remember
I
hugging him, and he had, because he had the robes
he smelled
on,
like incense.
He didn't have, like, sleeves, because it was just the whole robe. I just remember being engulfed in that, like, robe. I don't know what. It sounds bad.
Oh, boy.
It sounds bad, but I remember that, and it was like I always liked him, and I don't know what other people's opinion on him is, but I just always liked that, and I just got away from it. I don't know why.
He was well-liked.
But anyway.
You go through points, though, Job, like in your life, like where obviously you're young, your parents have you on that trek, or you're going to church, a Catholic school for me, and so you're getting you guys know what that's like, the mass is all in time, and then you hit like your college point, and then you start to stray a little bit, I feel like, or like high school, and you're getting busy, you're social, you shouldn't be neglecting it, but it's not as important to you at that time of your life. It should be, but it isn't. This is just, I'm speaking from experience for me, and I see other people do the same thing, but then when you start to get older, as you continue to age, you'll start coming back around. Like, I make an effort to go to church every single time that I'm not at work. I'm going with my mom. Yeah. Like when I'm on vacation, I go, and like I do enjoy it. And you'll start feeling like you're getting more out of it when you're more of a grown up and you understand it more.
And it's weird because just like I growing going from going to church and then out of it, I'm a very maybe not so much towards religion, but I'm just in general kind of a skeptical person. Like, I don't believe in I don't believe in ghosts, like that kind of stuff. I'm very, very skeptical about the paranormal. So growing up and kind of shifting my mind in that way kind of pushed me away from, you know, general church belief. And not that I would ever say that none of that is untrue, but it just kind of, I had to, like, this conflict, and I believe that there is somebody, something that is looking over us that is pulling the strings and knows what they're doing. Do I necessarily believe everything in whether it's Catholicism, to Buddhism, the whatever religion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I necessarily believe that it's ever, you know, cookie cutter into any one of those? I don't know. But I feel like I was sitting here and I just felt like I needed
that. That's cool, though.
It is cool.
But you're supposed to challenge it. Yeah. I mean, you talk to priests, they'll tell you, like,
yeah,
you are supposed to challenge these. Like, you want to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. You want to try to get inside and out of what is actually going on, because none of us really know. But you got to ask those questions. You can't be like a sheep and be gullible.
No,
and you
just,
because
no,
then that's where you fall into people that are doing silly things for religious beliefs. Yeah. Two
things. One, I went to St. Gabriel was the name of it. I've gone twice now in the last 4 weeks in Charlotte. Like, we've been down there a lot. This church, I think it is so cool that these priests that are younger now are starting to move towards like that pastor type communications. Like, they still have all the old priest beliefs, like they're not allowed to marry, stuff like that. But the younger priests that can relate, like, are relating more to everything. Their message they're getting across is so real life. And it wasn't like that when I was growing up. Like, maybe it's
most of our priests are old, right?
Yeah. And maybe it's because your mindset's changed. Yeah. But the young, like this guy, I don't know his name. He was St. Gabriel in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's probably in his mid 40s. And he is preaching to the 20-year-olds, to the 30-year-olds, to the 40-year-olds, to the 50s, to the 60s. And everyone's eyes, I've never seen anything like it. Like, felt like we were at like a show. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was locked in at this Catholic church.
And that makes a big difference.
Cool. So that was sick. And then number
having
two.
Having a good pastor makes a huge difference.
Number two, I just met this girl on a work trip, grew up in Ohio, moved to Indiana late in high school. She works out in California now, but they were sitting in the back of an Uber and I heard them talking about what they gave up for Lent. And I turned around and I was like, oh, did you guys go to Catholic like grade schools too like me? And she looked at me and she's like, no, I didn't know God then. And I was like, she didn't grow up Catholic and became one in like middle high school, early college.
Wow.
Like, hearing someone that didn't grow up with any of the background and hear them talk about how they like joined a church or how they believe, that's always so cool to me, because I grew up and that's what I was raised in.
That's how you're born.
So that's
all
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I think faith is cool. I really do. I think any kind of faith is cool. I mean, to a degree. I don't, like, if you're going to cut people's heads off. And,
faith in the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, yeah. In anything. Yeah. But I mean, like, as long as you're not going out and
harming people,
stabbing people and doing things in the name of whatever. But I do think it's cool. I really do think it's cool. I'm trying to be a little more open-minded as I get a little older, but I don't know. It was something that, and like you said, when I was a kid, I like traditional mass. I really do. I think it's relaxing, and I like singing and the music, and I like the kind of slowed down pace. But I don't think I connected with that as much as when I was a kid.
No, it's actually not meant for us to connect at that time. It's really not.
It just didn't. It just kind of went over my head. I remember all the songs, and we still sing the songs, you know, glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth.
Yeah.
And we all, I remember that kind of stuff. But I tell you, I went to, again, I love traditional math. I think mass is great. I went to, for whatever reason, Nick Say and I randomly just went to church one night at the Vineyard.
Okay.
The Vineyard. And that is in a totally different realm.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is a little too, I thought it was great. I thought I connected to it more. I could understand the message a little more. But it was so far removed from regular mass. I mean, there was a drummer who was flipping his drumsticks, and there were lights going off.
That's a little too new age for me.
And it was crazy. I mean, if you enjoy that and that's how you do that, I totally am on board, because I think it was cool and it's a great experience. But it was just, there's like somewhere a happy medium that I can't quite find that I think I really like the gospel churches. I've watched like ministries with I don't know if you guys remember Pastor. Oh shoot, I gotta look him up.
I found that guy that I was just talking about. I think this is why everyone's so locked in on this dude, Father Richard Sutter, pastor. He did his schooling in St. Paul in Rome, Italy. He grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. Before entering the seminary, Father Richard served as a U.S. Army infantry officer for 6 years, graduating from Army Ranger and Airborne schools.
That's super badass.
When I tell you guys, this dude, when he talks, everyone's eyes are locked on him, and there's like so much energy. It was one of the...
What a calling, though.
It's
to go into the
best,
military and then go dude, do be a priest.
He's one of the only priests I've ever seen that are walking from the whole church, and everyone's eyes are following, and he's relating to every single person in the room.
It's powerful.
Yeah, and that's, that probably makes sense why he can do that, because this, his resume is unbelievable. This guy is one of the, it's one of the best masses I've ever
seen. Here he is. His name's Pastor Rance Allen. And he was this he was a big guy. And he was a pastor. He was a singer. He's a gospel singer. And I just was listening to his music. And I was like, man, if you're in a church like that, I can see how you could really get into this thing. But there was another story that I heard. I was watching motivational videos or something, and there was like a minute long clip of this pastor, bigger guy, and it was kind of a newer age church. And he was telling the story about how they were in an art museum, and they had a group of people in an art museum, and they were moving through this art exhibit, and there's a painting on the wall, and it was called, I think, I'm going to have to look it up. But they're moving through this group, and in the group, the painting is of the devil and a guy sitting at the table, and they're playing chess. And the guy's kind of sitting there exasperated, and the devil's sitting there like all cocky. And it's a real painting. And the group kind of guy's talking about it. And the leader of the group, or who's leading the tour, says, this is a painting called such and such. It's depicting a man losing a battle with the devil. He played a game with the devil and he lost. And in the group was a professional chess player. And the professional chess player stayed behind, and he's looking at this picture. And the tour group moves on, and the guy who was leading the group turns back to the chess player, the pro chess player, and he goes, "We're moving on." And the guy says, "Well, you know, I'm a professional chess player, right?" And the guy says, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, either they're going to have to change the name of the painting, or they're going to have to change the painting, because as I'm standing here looking at the painting, the king still has one more move,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that's sitting there has one more move left."
Wow.
And if you weren't a professional chess player, you would never pick that up. But the painting, I think originally, for people that didn't know, the guy there who is assumingly represented with God, he's got one more move left. And that speech, I don't know, I think that was one of the reasons
I
was sitting there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was cool. I'll have to send it to you guys, because it's really neat. But anyway,
I want to ask you guys this question. How do you feel about, and I'm not saying like judging people, or I don't know if I know. I think I probably know somebody that's like this, but I don't specifically know for sure. How do you feel about people that are like atheists and they're like anti-beliefs how do you think, what is their logic is what I'm always like, how do they explain how we have evolved, how we've come from where we've come from, and just all the other things that have, through time, seem like you needed faith.
Just don't know I don't care what you believe in. Like that, I don't think there's a correct religion.
Right.
Because to answer this, I'll explain this. When we were at West Liberty, we have so many international students. I remember sitting in one of our halls one time. I forget what the religion was. It was either Buddhism, something that they preach in the Middle East. This kid was explaining the God that he believes in to me. It was Jesus.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like his religion was the same religion I believe in. It's just a different name, and they've raised it a different way. So the atheist thing is so confusing to me, because I don't know how you don't believe in
higher power of any kind.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I can believe in, I don't want to, because I just ranted, but I can believe in everything evolution being science-based. You know, we were a little protozoa that turned into a sea creature that then walked on two feet or whatever.
Panspermia.
And through Darwinian evolution, we became what we are now. But every time that I go to that, the one thing that I cannot wrap my head around is how we came from nothing to something.
Yeah,
at the beginning of time. I can't wrap my head around.
Just think about your body. Think about all the organs and what they do specifically. Possible way that you just could have evolved with all that to do the exact certain thing that it needed to do. I mean, I do believe that some species do evolve, and I think we probably have evolved as man in some capacity, but I just don't see how you think about that. And then you also go with the procreation. Like, why are women able to carry children? And like that, that is something that is beyond our understanding, but I have enough understanding to know that somewhere, someone had to have been able to make that happen. It's just not something that could happen over time.
I need someone to fact check this. This is so cool to me. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist.
Yeah.
He wrote a book. I'm pretty sure this is the book, Astrophysicist for People in a Hurry. Okay. And his theory in there, what he talks about is, I mean, it's not a theory. There's astrophysicists from all around the world have came together. They can figure out how we got here down to the 99.99999%. Yeah. All of the smartest people in the world have figured the same thing out. They can't figure out that one other little, and like nobody nobody can figure it out.
What about you?
The missing link.
I try not to be a narrow-minded individual. I like to my brother-in-law's stepbrother is an atheist, and he went to MIT first. Just a brilliant, brilliant dude. So to sit down, I like to have conversations because obviously I want to hear why he thinks.
Yeah, that's the best.
I think that's super cool.
Hearing from people.
But somebody said one time, why not believe? And I'll be honest with you, I hang my hat on that.
Yeah.
Number one, why not believe? Number two, per Matt, to allude to what Matt said, our bodies are just truly unbelievable in how everything works together for the common good of keeping us going on a daily basis. I agree. There's just has to be a higher power that has developed this for us.
100%.
And I think, you know what, to have something to believe in, and it doesn't necessarily have to be faith-based. I think it could be anything-based, just not necessarily apples to apples. But, you know, there's always a hope and a prayer out there, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Believing. I mean, no different than, you know, you're hoping to land your next job. So you have hope in that. Or you're me, my down eyes, I'm hoping that my Powerball numbers come up. To have that hope and that wish and that, I mean, I think it's part of life.
I think for atheist in particular, I think that it is very closed-minded to immediately just say, nope, there's nothing. There's nothing out there. There's nothing. And then that's fine. If that's what you believe, that's fine. I think agnostic, which means you don't know. And I think I would probably fall in the middle ground there because I don't know. I don't know. I've never been proven anything, but I got to believe. I feel like I would be doing a disservice to if there is something out there. That I should
a lot of people that wrote like for books and Bible and stuff that was taken out of the Bible and scholars and people who were basically journalizing time, making journals over time, they were agnostics. A lot of them didn't believe in the things they were reporting on, basically. They were like the reporters of our time. They're reporting on so-and-so doing this or miracles or prophets and stuff, and a lot of them didn't believe. A lot of them were agnostics, but they still weren't going to dismiss that, like you're saying. They didn't say, no, this couldn't have happened. Yeah. This cannot happen. So I think I like logic in everything that I do. Like Jeff was saying, like talking to an atheist or whatever, I would love to just hear why. I'm just curious, like what makes you think this is not the way it is or however you want to frame it. But it makes me question, like especially afterlife. Like if I'm an atheist, I'd be a touch worried about that. Because I feel like, what do I got to lose at the end? If I believe, then okay. And it turns out that we're on the right track, then we're good. But if we don't, what do I got to lose?
I want to believe. Because that was going to be my next question. Do you consider, and I'm going to ask you guys all this, do you guys consider yourself more fear-based or faith-based? Meaning as in fear for exactly what you just got done saying. So, okay, I don't believe in God, but holy shit, I do get to the pearly whites and God looks at me and flicks me in the
forehead. Sorry, buddy.
I would be more concerned for people that I love and care about. That, to me, is more important. Like, I think you find some comfort on your grandmas who passed away.
Yeah.
And all, like, to me, knowing that our family members are hopefully in heaven, if that is the real thing. I believe it is, but we'll see. But, you know, I want to be able to feel that good that, like, okay, I know this person was a good person. I know where they went, and I feel comfort with that more so than myself being afraid. Obviously, you always get that instilled in you a little bit as a Catholic boy. Don't act up, but...
Yeah, that's where I'm
but at. I want to truly believe that, you know, our people that have passed away before us are in a better place, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know... I guess I'm definitely not afraid. Well, I guess if I...
I mean, you want to be a good person. We all do.
If I got hit by a truck and I was like, oh, this is it, and then I open my eyes and I'm in an elevator and the arrow's pointing down, then, you know,
big trouble.
Then I'm probably going to be shaking a little bit. But I don't know. I think I think that I kind of reserve a place in me that pays respect to whatever it, whatever he, she, it, them, whatever the group or singular, or if we're whatever, I do reserve something in me that wants to appreciate that. I don't know.
No, and I respect that. Yeah. I do think that, and back to Matt said a couple minutes ago, that even, I mean, Father Miles was very big for this for me, like going through something at a younger age with my mom and losing her at a young age. Like, I mean, he was so good for me from a standpoint of, and he even said it, if you want to say fuck God, because you're going through that time, questioning things, that there's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you, as the older that I've gotten, and I unfortunately, the older you get, I do think the more cynical you get, and you, I think you start to question things a little bit more, because obviously I think your brain power is a little bit stronger from when you were younger. But I do question, and I second guess a couple things. And I know anything, if you would sit down with a priest or any whatever denomination or the Bible, it tells you that, you know, there's a reason for everything. I do struggle with the fact of matter that if somebody's going to get sick, why do they have to go through all that for the end result to be the end result? That's number one. Number two, I think with everything respectfully, and I'm not going to get on my dog and pony show about the Catholic religion, but everything that has evolved and all the stories that are coming out, if God is so good and powerful, and like, and I'll get to my point. I'm man enough to admit now, when I was younger and even in probably late teens, early 20s, if I seen a priest, there was definitely a reverence factor. Like they, to me, they were the walking person on earth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my brain goes in a different manner now, that if I see a priest, it's not that I don't show respect, because that's just the way that I was raised. I'm automatically going to negative thoughts about that dude when I see him in his cloth and his word, because at the end of the day, obviously stories don't lie and convictions
too many
don't lie.
Them.
Too many. So I do, it's hard for me to wrap my head that if God is so good, why is there so much bad? But I guess there's a purpose, and I'm not supposed to question that. It is.
It's tough, dude. It's one of the hardest. It's one of the hardest things to, like, I'm very faith-based. Like, you asked that question, faith or fear? I think a little bit of both, but just having the faith of knowing there's...
But the fear drives you to your faith a little bit.
Yeah, the fear drives it to
be a good person. You want to be a good person.
But it is so powerful just to believe in something. And that's where I am, just to have that extra little...
Do you think...
That little push.
Do you guys think religion's, like, misconstrued, though? Like, we talk about the Catholic religion and how it ruled the world for the longest time. I mean, it was for a long time, you know, it's
I heard the Holy Lands, or like Spain, Italy, Jerusalem, like I heard it's unbelievable.
They spent time conquering it and in the name of God, and, you know, Roman emperors that converted to you know, Catholicism and Christianity, and it's like that was in the name of God. Like, so much bad has been done in the name of God.
Yeah.
But back to, you made a point about just like why bad things happen to good, like the sickness and all this stuff. And to me, it's always something you think about, even at a really young age, like, why is this happening? Why? Explain this to me, because that's what I want to try to find. And I've talked to priests at my school about it. Like, why? Exactly what you're saying. So do you think we as people are missing the point? Because I do. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't have the answer. But I feel like we're missing something. Why do so many people die of cancer all the time? Why do we continue to research it and we never find a cure? We're doing something wrong. And I think that's what God's showing us, is you guys are fucking this up. Like, you got to... Somebody somewhere has got to lead us down a different path, because what we're doing isn't working in so many ways. I always have that in my mind, but...
You know what else?
It's
a valid point, though. It is. It's a very valid point, because at the end of the day, is there a bigger picture that we're just not understanding,
right?
That maybe we have some cause to be able to control our effect. And I think it's a really good point. And you're right. We're probably, none of us are smart enough to figure that out.
We don't know it. And the leaders in these churches are not always good people. And that's a problem. And the leaders in our government aren't good people a lot of the time. And just everywhere you turn, whether, you know, you got guys, and not to single him out, but Anthony Fauci, like he led the country down a terrible path with the COVID. Like, the people we have in these spots are making the wrong decisions for us. Maybe God's trying to tell us, you got the wrong people making these choices. You need to figure a better way. And
I always think that, I not always think, but I sometimes think this when I think about, like, what the, what, because we've always thought, or people will say, you know, that eventually he's supposed to come down and reveal himself, and we're supposed to see him, and people be brought up to heaven. What if that all these other religions in the world, all the religions that are in the world, Catholicism, the whatever is in the farthest parts of the world, what if there is meant to be
One true.
Like, what if it doesn't matter the denomination that you're in? Just showing
the principles are the same. Is that
because I mean, if you really look at every religion except for maybe some that are like, you know, made by a science fiction writer. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about there. All religion has some pretty core principles, yeah. And one of those is just being a good person, yeah. And showing respect to that thing, what if the main goal is for everybody to put that aside, and if everybody would be under that same, where it's I respect you, you respect me, we respect that, maybe that's the end goal. That to me, I mean,
yeah. I would think
it makes
that's
sense.
Why.
Yeah, it makes,
why
it makes
if none of these religions are actually like valid, then all the stories and parables and all that stuff is designed to get you to be a decent human,
yeah.
No matter how it's worded. Or
that's why I don't like when people get you know upset about what other people believe. It's like rarely, in rare cases, is a religion meant for somebody to do things that are bad to people. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there are that's
well,
out there. But
being and even that religion that will remain nameless for now. But I mean, I would have no problem naming it. But like, why are there good people in that, and then ones who are willing to do horrific acts?
I think people
in the name of God. But then again, Christians and Catholics did the same thing, maybe not to that degree.
I think that people use that for an excuse sometimes. I mean, I think sometimes people use, you know, it's like a hall pass.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I believe this, he's telling me this, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. When in reality, I mean, let's be honest, unless there's something happened that we don't know, nobody's getting true instructions from something.
How about in the context of how long this earth has been here, how about how ridiculously close in time we were to Jesus?
Yeah, no, very close. Compared
Isn't
to what,
that insane?
What,
that
is
insane.
How
and
long
what,
it was
what
existed.
What I think is cool is that, like, when you go back and look at history and all the artifacts we have, there, like, the first time God was mentioned wasn't when Jesus was born. Like, there's carvings, there's books, there was mentions of God before.
I mean,
before
no
Jesus
question.
Was
people
here.
Back in Mesopotamia, in early America, I mean, it was the sun god. You believe in the sun god. You believe
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
There was a belief in something, and I think that. Over time, that has split into everybody's different denominations that are not necessarily wrong in any regard. I think it's just different.
And it also has something to do with the planet that we're on, realizing that even back in ancient civilizations, when they're realizing things are going on in the skies, yeah. whether it's astrology, whether it's the sun, whether it's the eclipses, all this stuff is, and they didn't know if the world was flat or not at the yeah. time or whatever, but they knew something was up in the sky, and that space is probably vast, and they could probably ascertain that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's an incredible discussion, and it's incredible to talk to people who are scientific people who also believe in, you know, or Christians and things. And there's a lot of them out there, so they can see the scientific part of it, but that little piece that you guys were yeah. talking about, like Soup was mentioning, is there still for them to have the faith and believe in what they believe yeah. in. And I think it's really cool. I want to ask you guys this question, too. What kind of mindset? I'm not going to ask you to put yourself in that place because it's impossible for us, because it's either hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Could you imagine being to a point where you're ready to go fight for your religion, like in the crusade type thing? Or, Jub, you mentioned about like nobody told you what to do. Well, what about people that think they were called by God? What about Joan of Arc, Jarrett's yeah. girl? Like, really having visions of God and going and actually fighting battles, dying because of it. Like, what would that take? I mean, how powerful is that, that someone actually believed in what we believe in that much, that they were willing, without even hesitation, to go out and fight for
yeah. I mean, the Crusades, I mean, the volume of people and soldiers and violence and fighting, I don't know. To me, I think no matter what, across the board, I don't think no matter what, the big guy up there, whatever, I don't think he would incite violence in yeah. any regard.
I don't think
because you're going to believe what you believe, regardless of whether you're holding a sword or you're holding a pen. And I think that no matter what is up there, I don't think fighting and cutting people's heads off is the end goal.
And even though a lot of that is in the Bible, just being able to, you know, just like the Egyptians and the Jews and like how many rifts there have been over time. Yeah, you would think that God would be merciful and peaceful, but it seems like a lot of wars, Jeff, have been fought because of the way that I think is different than you.
And it's very true. And actually, maybe not apples to apples, but kind of what you were talking about, Jubber, that, and you had said from a standpoint that obviously all religion base is just quote unquote, hopefully just being a good person for the common good of another person. But I guess it goes back to politics. I mean, at the end of the day, why is there, quote unquote, I know there's more than a two-party system because there keeps on things evolving, right, or whatever you want to call it. If, quote unquote, the common good is just for what's the best for American people. So, I mean, I think there's, from the beginning of time, there's always been that separation.
Yeah.
That's first point. And I do think, and I don't, this is not fair because I do feel like I make this a cookie cutter statement, but I do think that a lot of religion stuff is hypocritical, yeah, in my personal opinion. I do think, I mean, a lot of the people that are sitting in a church pew every Sunday are probably not always the best people and always have their common man's best interest in mind.
Yeah.
I think probably their thought process, and I'm not that person because I don't sit in a church pew. Do I talk out of both sides of my mouth sometimes? Of course I do. Do I think that I'm hypocritical? I don't. I just think sometimes you think a certain way and then somebody brings something to light what makes you think another way that you can maybe see both sides and you start talking out of both sides of your mouth. But I think the people that sit in the church pew and quote unquote are that are holier than thou, they justify to themselves 6 days a week, I'm going to be a dick, but I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to make it
wash.
Right.
I'm going to wash my hands. Absolved.
Yeah. I'm going to put a couple bucks in the thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad. It really is because, you know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. I think we all have, I do think this group in general are good hearted people, but do we all have our dickhead moments? Fuck yeah. I mean, it goes without saying, but I struggle with the hypocriticalness of a religion, I guess.
What do you think about for a person that is that and then goes on Sunday to church? Do you think at the end of time, if he goes up there and there's the gates up and there's a ticket master and he's saying, you're going this way, you're going that way, for a guy that's like that, because he dedicated some time, do you think he gets a ticket in or do you think he's...
Well,
there's gospels about that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I really do think at the end of the day, if you go and quote unquote repent on Sunday, I mean, God obviously is a quote unquote of what you read and what we were taught is a forgiving man, understands that everybody's human and makes mistakes. I don't think that they would be ostracized right from the get-go just because of that. I think their cause, because they were. But also, I don't think, and I was on church council for years when Luke was younger and the wifey converted to become Catholic so we could raise Luke Catholic. I would go toe to toe with church council all the time because I was living a double life. I was part of church council, but wasn't sitting in the church pew every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I would stick up for myself, and a lot of people either liked it and or didn't like it from the standpoint that I don't have to sit in a church pew every Sunday to say that I'm a good person,
yeah,
or I
no
don't
way.
Believe in God, or the fact of that I don't have my own talks with God or prayers or whatever the case might be. And it's something else that bothered me, and this, I guess, is a hot button. Like when Corpus Christi, and it wasn't just Corpus Christi, it was the West Virginia Diocese, in order to go to a Catholic school, they wanted to start tracking you with your envelopes. So the fact of the matter is they wanted to start tracking you, and that's how some of it was going to be developed on how much you paid to go to the Catholic school.
That's crazy, wrong.
Suck a dick. Because at the end of the day, that's just bullshit. And then that also gets your mind going a little bit. Okay, so is this really about God?
Or is it a business
yeah, or whatever the
which
case
I'm hoping,
which
I'm
Catholic
hoping
Church is one of the biggest
businesses. I'm hoping that next generation is not like that because like, you can save and help so many people with their faith journey if you don't make it about that, which it's not about that. Because like what you were just talking about, church, how can some little kid in Nebraska that doesn't have any, has never been around a church, has never, or some other country, like they can't be frowned upon because they've never been to a church. They've never had a chance.
And their parents never brought them up. And their parents didn't put envelopes with their names on it in the collection.
And they've never been introduced to a religion. So like, I know everyone has a different view of who their God is, but like the God I grew up to know and love doesn't care about a single penny. Like, it doesn't care about how much money you get.
And that's what I don't like about a lot of big mainstream religions.
There's ones on TV.
People taking advantage of people.
No doubt about it.
Jim Baker, those televangelists that you think that those guys really, at the end of the day, maybe at one point they did start out and they were really good and they believed and they were humble, and then Mr. Redhorns came out and he whispered in the ear, and whatever happened, they went the wrong way. But I think those people are just the scum of the scum. Because you're taking people specifically that want to be healed or have some sort of answers or feel better about their life or their circumstances, and you're taking advantage of that because you know they have nowhere else to reach. So let's reach for this guy who says he's talking to God and he's going to put his hand on my head and I'm going to be cured.
Hand into your pocket, too. Yeah, his other hand. What about, we had that happen right here in our own community with, especially us Catholic guys, with the Bransfield. Living this lavish lifestyle and misspending funds and doing some other very questionable acts, I would say, not good things. And yeah, so everywhere you look, he's supposed to be the representation of Jesus on earth, along with the Pope.
I know that maybe the guy that goes in once a week he might get a ticket in, but because if you're basically impersonating a professional to the worst degree.
The Lord will see through that, though, I would imagine. And then there's stories that show that example.
Well, and I guess...
Where's I went to church every day. I did this. And then you got some homeless person laying out there doing whatever they can do to help someone else. And who gets into heaven first?
Yeah. But that does frustrate me. Back to your point, Jeff, it's good thing or bad things happen to people that have dedicated, like Aunt Sue, dedicated her life to... years to that church, and she ended up getting sick and passing away. And you got guys that are flying and jump in private jets, taking money from people, selling merchandise and swindling people. Yeah, and he's going to live till he's 90 years old and, die in his mansion. Now, after the fact, is there going to be, no pun intended, hell to pay? Maybe. But, for this time on earth, that's one of those hard pills that
it is a hard
kind of swallow.
Well, the one thing I can confidently say, and it's been, embarrassing enough, I couldn't tell you the last time I sat in a church pew, but I can honestly say that I've never walked out of a church and felt bad about myself.
Yeah.
Like that hour, like when you're there for that hour and that congregation and everybody's there, quote unquote, for the common good, you walk out and you feel a little bit better about yourself. I guess, and it's a horrible relationship. It's no different when you kind of like what you said about you get a little bit older and you start to get away from things. Unfortunately, maybe a little hungover on a Sunday morning. You're like, fuck it, I'm going to sleep in today. But it's kind of like a workout. Like, it sucks to get to the point I'm going to a workout. But man, when you're done, you feel so good that you did it.
Church
is the same thing. You go. It may suck to get up at 7:30 on your day off to go to church. But once you do it and you walk out of there, like, you know what? There's a fulfilling feeling with that.
Yeah.
There's some powerful, powerful energy in there when you're around that many people that are all believing in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's some really, really good stuff.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I was looking up a fact on my phone because we were talking about how close we were to Jesus times. What's crazy is the invention of the car is closer to Jesus than Jesus is to the building of the pyramids.
Yeah.
Wait, when were the pyramids?
2700 BC.
Yes.
Holy moly.
That's
so the pyramids were around longer than... In that span of time was longer than Jesus to cars.
By a lot.
Another really cool mass I've been to before. I forget which priest this was. This might have been in Charlotte as well. I can't remember. Maybe this was in Wheeling. Anyway, it was around Easter time, and they were stressing, no matter what you believe in, no matter what God you think is up there, there is hard given facts, multiple books of 2,000 years ago of people saying they saw a man die and come back.
Man.
Like, from multiple points, it's not me, Matt, Jeff, and Jubb saying, here, let's make up a story and say we saw the same guy. It's different views of someone saying, hey, I saw this man on a cross. He was dead, and then now he's alive.
The Roman accounts of that thing is insane. Even more impressive to me. The ones that didn't believe, the accounts from them are the most powerful.
Yeah, I mean, that's Do you? All right, last question, because I know we're probably.
Yeah, about it. We're about.
Oh, no, we're good. Right. Jeez, I thought we'd been talking way longer than that.
About 15 minutes?
Yeah, we haven't admitted. This has been one of my favorite talks that we've had.
Spiritual one.
Yes. Wow.
After you asked the question, I want to ask you something separate.
Yeah, but this is good. Do you believe in miracles?
I do.
Yes.
I've never witnessed one myself, but I believe.
I guess it goes back to why not?
Why? Right? I love it. Why not?
Why not?
What constitutes a miracle?
And that's a good point. I love those people talking about the little children
that see the Virgin Mary. That's considered a miracle to the Catholic Church. But to me, a miracle is you're terminally ill and somehow all of a sudden you wake up and your scan's clean and you're good.
Billy's in a coma. Yeah. He's got zero brain activity. And then the next day.
I guess both could be miracles.
He's
If the Virgin Mary came down and sat in that chair over there and spun around and started talking to us, I would consider that pretty darn close to a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
I like when you hear people talk about like what miracles look like today compared to what they might have looked like 2,000 years ago. Like, it's such a tough conversation. They talk about like a kid that has done nothing wrong, maybe got the short end of the stick in some little city in Europe, has no support, and he makes it out to raise a family. Like, to me, that's a miracle.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
If he's eating bread at 6 years old on the street and he's drinking out of a puddle. No, I mean, to me, that's a miracle.
That's pretty darn close to a miracle. I would say one miracle that now comes to mind that I think about it is I think Trump not dying on that stage in Pennsylvania was a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, how in the world could he turn to that
exact Jeff, why not?
Thousandth of a second of a time to just clip his ear and he still lived. And then he goes on to be, that's pretty divine intervention that I've witnessed.
Somebody I was talking to recently was driving or knew somebody that was driving. And the path that they take every morning to work, they were late or something. And this even goes back to 9/11, when people had feelings in the morning or like spilled coffee on themselves
and didn't get into the building or were sick
that day. She was driving and the path that
or
she
missed
was,
the, missed their flight. Yeah, some of those connecting flights, people missed them.
And, that's a 100%.
I just got chills.
Yeah, that's terrifying to think.
She was driving on the normal path to work and something had happened in the morning. Kid was sick or something happened something happened at home in the morning and the same path she was driving, 50 feet in front of her, a tree fell. Right, it would have killed her. I mean, it would have just crushed the car and killed her. And if she would have left any sooner, she would have been crushed by the tree and died. So you think about that, like.
So what's that mean? So what's that mean for Jeff that was able to get through and got through the tree? And unfortunately, Matt is 10 seconds behind me and the tree falls on him.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I think that whatever, I keep saying it. I think that there's a level of influence that can happen. I feel it's like what people, if you believe in ghosts, there's like a level of interaction that can happen to the person. And maybe it depends on your faith or whatever, but do I think that he can stop a building from falling over? Probably not. But can he influence maybe how somebody feels a certain day or, maybe something, a lapse in judgment in a day, maybe.
So you asked a question about believing in miracles. Do you guys believe in like manifestation, like to be able your thought process? So really manifestation can technically lead to a miracle. Like if you believe in something so hard, I'm a believer in that word. I may not have been in my younger years, but I am. And I guess that kind of could manifest a miracle.
I'm so skeptical about that. I want to be, but I don't know.
So you think it's just happened for a reason?
I don't believe in that either because I don't understand. But again, I'm not able to understand why. Well, some of these reasons make no sense at all. Like if someone really says like literally every single thing that you do, it's everything happens for a reason. Every instance of your day. I can't get behind that either.
I don't know.
I can't find the study, but yes, I believe in it. I just saw something sick about either MIT did it or Harvard did it. Something about, they call it visual something, where it's like four pictures in a square. And if you look at it every single day, like your brain like the studies are unbelievable about it happening. Like your body just being like, okay, I got to make that happen.
I think it's the, I think the ability's there, but I don't know. I don't personally have any experience with
it. Why not? And,
but I mean, I can't dismiss it because I do feel like we haven't unlocked any of our mind. We talked about this before on here. Like I know, like there's, I'm not that far away from believing that you're right. Manifestations could be real to where, if I could unlock my brain, I could almost either predict future or something like that. I don't think we're that far off from it, but I don't know how people can possibly ever figure that ability out. There are some people that are born like that, though, that literally you can blindfold them right now and they can read what's over there. There yeah, are cases crazy, and cases and cases of that. So it does exist. But to me, I guess I'm kind of a doubter on that because I haven't experienced it, but I'm smart enough to realize that there are proven people that have done that before. So I guess it has to be.
Of the people, what about the cases of people going into comas and speaking another language?
It's incredible.
I mean, that's like, that's what
our, I'm, how powerful, I mean, like, is the brain?
That's,
and
that's,
are we, you know, is it divine intervention from the Lord and the people we, or person we believe in? Or is it alien intervention?
That's all.
That's a whole other avenue, because that's will be absolutely there. And did they, you know, did they facilitate a lot of this? On
okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, do you guys agree or disagree that a lot of it is self-inflicted from a standpoint of a positive outlook on things, trying to stay positive even during the bad times? You know, those people that are truly just ho-hum and Debbie Downer and all that stuff. I mean, I do. I'm not saying positivity is always going to drive a good outcome. That's not what I'm getting at. But I do think your percentages increase.
100%.
That I really do. That if you stay positive and you have a positive outlook on things, and I don't know if that's manifestation. I'm not sure if that's the true definition.
See, I can't get behind that one. I'm just so much more of a realist than that. I just don't, I don't know. And it's not that I want to be negative, but it's like sometimes I feel like people misconstrue what I am and think I'm negative when I'm really just trying to be,
I think,
a realist.
I think,
and I get that too.
I think there's a huge power in, maybe not positivity. I don't know if positivity is the right word, but going into situations that in life that are either hard or you have the option to either just kind of go, you know, down a, you know, meh slope, or just go in it with full steam. I think there's a lot of power in whatever that is. I don't know if it's positivity or just confidence, but I think confidence and the way you go about situations is very powerful in getting what you want. Because I think if you go into a situation and maybe you're negative about it, which I am guilty of many, many of times, you normally get that outcome is either negative or you're sometimes surprised. But if you go in and you're positive, sometimes you're going to be disappointed. But I feel like no matter what, you're going to get something out of that situation.
I think the positivity helps you cope, but I don't know if it helps you achieve. Yeah. It may in your mind, you think it does, but I don't know. I don't know if it does.
Yeah. But there, I don't
is,
know. Yeah.
There is a balance, though. To
point,
Matt. There's
for
a
sure.
balance of, because I'll be honest with you, rainbows and butterflies isn't the right way to live life either. so I think being a realist is not a bad thing.
But waking up every day hating everything is not going to work
that
either.
That would be a miserable fucking life.
I think, like, understanding that bad things are going
to
happen.
To all of us.
They're gonna
it's inevitable.
Happen. You're never going to escape it. But I think that the way that you handle that is the way that defines how the outcome comes in. Because if something happens, like, well, we've seen death and things like that, and that's horrible. But if you think about, you know, if we didn't have the, for instance, I mean, we brought her up a couple times. I mean, Meemaw passing away, that was horrible. It's probably one of the most devastating losses in my life so far, you know, knock on wood, knock on whatever.
The sad thing is we'll have more loss in our life.
Which is true. But and if you keep looking at that in a negative light and you think about just how sad it is and how sad it is. But now I think about just all the fun and the energy and just how great she was. And even the funeral, the joy,
that was.
Like
yeah.
if we came into that, if we after that funeral and we did the normal thing, the cliche thing to do, everybody wears black, we come to wet, we eat stupid ass chicken salad,
cry.
And then we go home and mope and cry. But we didn't do that. And I think that totally defined how not only she's remembered, but how all of us handle that after
the
fact.
Yeah, celebrations of life are
important. So I think you have to, and obviously having people around you too is a massive part of remaining positive. But I think the way you look at things that suck, the worst things in life, I think you got to sometimes just look at it with, this has happened. It sucks. I know it happened. But you have to put the Legos back together. Otherwise, they're just going to be...
But not everybody's... That, I think the point of that, though, is not everybody's built from the same cloth.
No, 100%.
So small things can crumble somebody.
100%.
And it is. Not everybody's built the same way. But I don't understand that mindset on... It's a fight or flight moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're either going to let something crumble you or you're going to, you know, put on your big boy pants and move forward or whatever. I mean, even if I'm going to transition right now. The kid, don't want to transition, but it's kind of a little apples to apples. Like the kid last night from the basketball game on Houston, he said something like he was talking about the coach last night. It's a dude that looks like RZA from Wu-Tang Clan. Which I think is great. And he said, I wanted to be coach. I wanted a coach that would take me to a place where I probably wouldn't go if I tried my hardest still. Don't seek praise, seek the push. Average players want to feel good now. Great players crave the coaching that makes them elite tomorrow.
That's great.
And
great,
it is. But here's the deal. Not everybody's built to have a coach that doesn't have that mindset, knowing that somebody can take them to the next level.
Yeah.
Where other, like nowadays, a lot of kids are so soft that, you know, I knew for a fact that when Luke got to high school and if he had a yelling coach, Luke was going to be fine because Luke dealt with Jeff Doyle, the dickhead dad, his whole fucking life, right? So I just think at the end of the day, I just think it's how we're built, how we're raised, what kind of backbone mindset on how we handle, I guess, these different types of situations. But here's what I will tell you. I do consider myself to be a strong-minded individual. I do struggle with weak-minded individuals.
Oh,
the
yeah.
ho-hum, the everybody's against me, everything
sucks.
Life sucks.
Yeah, wears you out.
Like, I've truly removed some really good friends throughout my life because of that.
Yep.
Because I don't got time for that fucking... Like, here's the deal. Life is hard. The day-to-day grind of everything that comes... It's very hard, but it's still very precious, as we all know. I mean, there's a lot of people dealing... Good example. I don't know if you guys heard about that poor Indian Creek kid. Unfortunately, 17 years old, passed away and a bad asthmatic, ended up getting a really bad pneumonia, ended up being shipped to UPMC hospital. Here's the deal. On my worst fucking days, it's better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know it's hard to look at it that way. And I'm not saying because that's easier said than done, but there's always people that have it worse off.
No question.
And I think back to... I'm gonna circle around here. One of the things that I look at as far as life goes and whether there's somebody up there is how lucky we are to be here. If you think about the odds that you, not to be gross, but you amongst billions of other chances made it to where you needed to go to be born.
That's a good point.
Out of all the possibilities of everybody that could be alive are alive. And I feel like I have to be grateful to something for that.
Exactly.
And I feel like I owe that to something because the chances and there's a great interview with Stephen Colbert, whether you like him or not, but he said, cause he's very religious and he said something like I think he had the death of his father or something was the worst thing of his life, but he looks back at it and he's appreciative of being able to experience that because he knows how slim the odds are for him to be where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And for as sucky as situations have been, I try to, even though sometimes it's hard, like
it
we said,
hard,
it's the hardest thing ever, just to look at we're alive, we're here, the chances of all of us being together and friends and family, the chances of that are slim to none for that to have happened. So I feel like in a religious standpoint, a belief standpoint, a faith standpoint, I feel like that is something to be
thankful
for.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Yeah. And actually take it one step further, you know, not to get political, but we talk about America. And once again, on House, you have these dickheads out there that want to talk about how bad America is, and they throw up. Can you imagine if we were born into Hamas or we were born into like these fucking cults and shit like that, where the situation, and I know there's a lot of people that have it in a bad way in America, and I get that, and I know it's not perfect, but man, you talk about the land of the free and all that stuff. I mean, how blessed we are just being Americans.
The greatest thing ever.
Ever. And but when you see these jackoffs out there picketing or saying, you know, if this person gets elected, I'm moving here, or whatever the case might be, I'll never be able to wrap my head around that either.
I think it was on a car ride or something. We talked about going on trips and stuff. And I was just talking about Antigua, which is just south of, I mean, it's down in the Bahamas path. The Bahamas is almost closer to Venezuela than it is here. But, you know, you go down and we're lucky to be at this resort because it's owned by, it's an American run resort. But you go outside of that resort and you see the life that these people live on a day to day, living in 90 plus degrees year round, no AC. No bed, no windows in their home, stone buildings that are crumbling in. And you come away from that and you almost feel guilty 100%. Because it's like, I'm here on vacation having a great time and you're just living your everyday life watching me go around, you know, in a tour bus. And, you know, I think that's another thing that you just think about how lucky you are to be in the position that you are.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. So I guess if that's good with you guys.
That was awesome.
Good stuff. Hey, we all sounded somewhat educated.
Good for the soul.
Yeah.
Divine intervention.
I think the main message is just be good to each other and be thankful for what you have. And if you believe whatever you believe in, I think you're on the right path.
Yes.
So,
amen.
God is good.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing in your life, just be appreciative. So, episode 155 in the books. Thanks to Jeff, Matt, and Soup. We appreciate you joining us here every Tuesday, every Thursday. And until then, we'll see you back here in the Pine Room.
Peace.
See ya.